You're listening to X-Ray FM on KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Radio is yours.
10, open 7 days of the week. Your life is constant, it's never stopping. Just take a second and breathe.
Obscene profits while working people bleed. And is Netanyahu, well, that's all in the first hour of the program. Also, is Netanyahu helping Putin loot Ukraine? Holy cow, an amazing story here in the second hour. And a bait and switch? Whatever happened to the private donors paying for Trump's gilded ballroom? Oh, is that money going into Donald's pocket? And hypocrite alert, when Trump, Melania, or a Republican tells Kimmel or a lefty to tone down the rhetoric? Yeah, right, share this, stay tuned. And in our third hour, our single guest for the day, Alex Lawson, is going to drop by. Hospitals that take the sickest patients are starting to close. We'll find out why. And also, Democrats lead the polls, but voters are begging for new blood within the Democratic Party. We'll talk about that in the third hour of the program. So, an awful lot to cover today. My daily take at HartmanReport.com is, I think one of the juicier ones I've done in a while. It was inspired by a conversation that I had yesterday. A young fellow called up and said, you've been doing this contest for years where you offer an autographed book to anybody who can name one piece of major legislation that was created by Republicans since Reagan's presidency that passed the House and Senate with majority Republican votes and was signed into law by a Republican president whose major beneficiary is the average working person. And when you insert the word major before the word legislation, people found a few minor things, but basically nobody's won the contest. And I've been running this contest for over 20 years. So why? It raises a question. Why is it that for over 45 years now, Republicans have not introduced a single piece of legislation that helps the average person? Not one. Or at least that helps the average person more than it helps billionaires. You could say, well, the tax breaks help me. Maybe you got, a few drops, but, the big package went to the billionaires, as you know. And since 1981, the Democrats have passed the Family and Medical Leave Act, the Earned Income Tax Credit expansions, the Children's Health Insurance Program, the Affordable Care Act, the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform, Consumer Protection Act, the American Recovery and Investment Act, Every Student Succeeds Act, American Rescue Plan, Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, the PACT Act, and dozens of others, which raises the question, why is it that Republicans have avoided doing anything at all to help average working people for more than 40 years? And I think it boils down to one thing, and I'll explain that in just a moment, but just, these are the questions that people call in and ask, and I'll give you my answers, too. Why do Republicans fight free college and ending student debt when our experience after World War II with the GI Bill shows that for every $1 we invest in educating our young people in college, we make as a country, we make an additional $7 back as a result of increased tax revenue because educated people make more money. Why do Republicans fight free college? because the GOP is on the take from the banking industry, which, you know, it makes billions in profits from student loans. Why do Republicans fight every effort to have a national health care system like every other democracy in the world has? Because the GOP is on the take from the insurance industry. Why do Republicans sabotage green programs designed to get America off our dependence on fossil fuels when fossil fuels are destroying our atmosphere, destroying our children's future, and cause tens of thousands of cancers and hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of cases of asthma and other diseases every year? Because the GOP is on the take from the fossil fuel industry. Why do Republicans fight breaking up monopolies, even though the average American family spends $5,000 a year more than the average Canadian or European family, because we allow monopolies here in the United States and have since 1983. Why do Republicans fight breaking up monopolies? Because the GOP is on the take from giant monopolies. Why do Republicans fight letting Medicare negotiate prescription drug prices, even though every developed nation in the world allows this? Simple answer, because the GOP is on the take from the pharmaceutical industry. Why do Republicans oppose expanding Social Security benefits and protecting the program by lifting the payroll tax cap so billionaires pay the same as you and me? Simple answer, because the GOP is on the take from Wall Street. Question, why do Republicans battle against universal paid leave and family sick leave, even though every other advanced democracy in the world has this, and it reduces the spread of disease? You don't want a sick waiter coughing on your plate before they bring it to you. Why do Republicans battle against universal paid leave? Because the GOP is on the take from low-pay corporate employers. Why do Republicans oppose raising the minimum wage, even though productivity has soared while wages have stagnated? And the corporate owners are richer than at any time in world history. Well, because the GOP is on the take from giant retail chains, fast food corporations, and other low-wage employers. Why do Republicans fight food assistance programs like SNAP and universal free school lunches, even though childhood hunger damages learning, health, and lifetime earning potential, and research proves that these programs are among the most efficient anti-poverty investments any government can make? Well, the answer is simple, because the GOP is on the take from billionaires and low-wage corporations. Why do Republicans fight stronger gun safety laws supported by large majorities of Americans, even including things as anodyne as universal background checks and red flag laws? Republicans oppose those because the GOP is on the take from the gun industry and its lobbying arm, the NRA. People ask, why do Republicans oppose cracking down on tax havens and making billionaires pay what they owe, even though it would reduce our deficits, it would pay down our national debt, it would fund schools, roads, and health care? The answer is very simple, because the Republican Party is on the take from billionaires, hedge funds, and multinational corporations that bankroll their campaigns. And then finally, why do Republicans so frequently use hate and fear, from Willie Horton to Trump's anti-trans ads to hysteria about bathrooms, to win political campaigns? And why do billionaires and corporations fund such advertising? And by the way, apropos of this, we just learned today that the Republicans have, haven't publicly released it, but it's leaked. We now know the Republican strategy for the elections that are coming up in seven, eight months. They're going to go negative. They're going to go back to bathroom bills and trans, people and immigrants and open borders and all this other BS that they try to shovel at us. Why do they do this? Because this kind of campaigning is so powerful emotionally that it causes people to forget how the GOP has been screwing them for the past half century. Which all brings us to the largest question, which is, how did it get this way? Why is it that for 45 years since the Reagan Revolution, Republicans have refused to produce even one single piece of legislation that helps the average person, while handing $38 trillion to the morbidly rich, borrowed from us in our names as the national debt? Why? And the answer to that is very simple. It goes back to three Supreme Court decisions, three corrupt, all-Republican Supreme Court decisions, Buckley versus Vallejo. That wasn't all-Republican, but close. First National Bank versus Bilotti. It was 76 and 78. And, of course, the big one, Citizens United in 2010, which has exploded billionaire and corporate spending on our elections. And until we overturn these obscene and corrupt Supreme Court rulings and get big money out of politics and make Congress answerable to us instead of their donors, The Republican Party is going to remain what it has been since the Reagan Revolution. It's not a political party with ideas to improve America and working class people, but it has become a wholly owned subsidiary, a front group for billionaires and giant multinational corporations, while Americans die young and remain uneducated, underfed, and unhoused. It's very simple. And saying, well, you know, they're doing this because the Supreme Court legalized it, of course, doesn't mean that the that it's okay that the GOP is doing this. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. We need to fight back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We need to overturn Citizens United. We need to change the composition of the Supreme Court. And we need to seize control of Congress and the White House. Stick around. Welcome back. Joe in Seattle. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind today?
Oh, good morning, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, Trump fires all 24 members of the U.S. National Science Foundation governing body.
That's right.
To eliminate independent oversight of science research. And
I would go beyond that, Joe. I would say not just to eliminate independent oversight, but to eliminate the people who are promoting federal funding of science, because this is the body
right.
that oversees the federal grants.
Right. And one of the articles I read, I have to totally agree with them, that they want to replace it with mega loyalists with AI. And that's primarily going to be Palantir, SpaceX. They want to control the whole narrative.
I don't know about the AI part, but there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to see Bob Kennedy stacking, you know, or playing a role in stacking that board, or people like Bob Kennedy, you know, people who, you know, who have no training in science, no training in medicine, you know, lawyers or just, you know, wackadoodles. And, you know, that's the way we're going to go. Yeah. I think it's a crime, Joe. I think it's a travesty, and it's getting nowhere near enough attention. You know, instead
well,
of
that's what
like,
I
oh,
wanted
the king
to
is
point
here.
Out. Right. That's what I wanted to point out. And I don't believe in coincidences. We've had 11 or 12 scientists just mysteriously disappear.
Yeah, it turns out that when you look at the number of scientists we have in the United States, first of all, only one or two of those people have actually mysteriously disappeared. Most of them have died. And when you look at the number of scientists in this country, it's actually not an anomalous number. But I get it. Joe, thanks for the call. Dave in Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind today?
Hey, not too much, Tom. Remember we were discussing how world events are similar to World War One?
Yeah.
And you know, I'll be honest with you. Like, last week, I'm kind of glad my call wasn't taken on another show because Morning Joe was talking about how, you know, the Republican Party has, under Trump, has socialized a lot of these companies. He was mainly talking about the airline that they were buying, and then they listed a bunch of others, right? But even Joe Scarborough said socialize. Okay, you use the word socialize.
Well,
why
socialism is, you know, one aspect of the classic Marxist socialism is when the government owns the means of production.
Yeah, and he was getting very close to a point that I've given up on trying to make, that MAGA is more like a nationalist socialist movement.
Yeah.
And I'm glad because, you know, it's incendiary rhetoric if you don't. One time I said it on an academic basis, and then that's when I decided I'm not going to bring it up anymore because it's not fair to bring it up.
Well, you know, what's really ironic, Dave, is the Nazi does stand for National Socialists.
The first
people that the Nazis went after were the real socialists. They just wanted to appropriate the good feeling that was associated with the word socialism.
Right. And I think, you know, MAGA's kind of doing the same thing. But anyways, there's been this discussion about how Canada might replace the United States as the leader of the free world. Now, this is a lot like the Austro-Hungarian, demise of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And if you look at, like, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, say, well, that was just terrorism. I'd advise you to look at what's going on in Mali right now and what the CIA is going to end up doing for Iran.
Yeah, what's going on in Mali is a mess. Dave, thank you. Well said. Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. I have 8 suggestions for Democrats for messaging. Democrats seem to have a messaging problem right now. First, Democrats must frame the fight in simple moral terms. Don't be wonky like, hey, we need to expand social safety. No, say no child in America should go to bed hungry. Second, Democrats need to stop playing defense and instead seize the populist high ground. Like when FDR said, they are unanimous in their hate for me and I welcome their hatred. Third, ruthlessly define the Republican opposition and the morbidly rich broligarchs who own them. Fourth, tell stories instead of facts. Reagan did this with the black welfare queen. He had to lie about it, but we've got lots of great stories. That's number fourth. There's 4 more. And they're all over at HartmanReport.com. The title of the article is, If Obama Had Sent a Mob to Kill a Cop, Republicans Would Never Let You Forget It. And it's all about how Democrats can reinvent their messaging to start winning elections big. Check it out. Amazing stuff. Why are oil executives warning of a catastrophic price shock at the pump? And big oil pockets obscene profits while working people are bleeding. A senior oil industry executive has a message for America. The pain at the pump hasn't even started yet. Dan Pickering, the chief investment officer at Pickering Energy Partners, told Politico that when summer driving season hits, gas prices will deliver a shock that hits people in the face. Seriously. His exact words. It will be painful. With Trump's Iran war dragging on, and the Strait of Hormuz is still choked off, oil and gas executives are openly furious at Trump's market-manipulating happy talk. They warn another spike is coming around Memorial Day. National gas prices have already jumped from $2.94 the week before the war to nearly $4. And some experts now predict $5 a gallon gasoline is coming. Trump's war of choice is bleeding working families dry, and oil experts know it. Who's making out like bandits when you pay $4 a gallon? The world's 100 biggest oil and gas companies. They pocketed more than $30 million in windfall profits every hour during the first month of Trump's Iran war. That's the Guardian's analysis. The biggest winners are Saudi Arabia, Saudi Aramco, Kuwait Petroleum, and ExxonMobil. If oil stays around $100 a barrel, big oil will rake in another $234 billion in war profits just this year. Patrick Gailey of Global Witness calls it Christmas for fossil fuel companies. He's right. They sit back and watch their profits multiply while ordinary people pay the price. Greenpeace and climate groups gathered this week in Santa Marta, Colombia, demanding governments tax these obscene profits. Every American driver is funding big oil's biggest payday in history. And that's really the bottom line. I mean, it's absolutely obscene what is going on. Basically, we've handed our economy over to big oil. This was, Donald Trump got together with all these oil executives back, 2 years ago when he was running for president for the third time and said, give me $1 billion and I'll do anything you want. And he did. They did and he did. I don't know that they gave him $1 billion, but they sit and gave him hundreds of millions of dollars. And the outcome of this is that we now have a mess. I mean, just, the environment is, we've got, they're talking about, the AMOC, the Great Conveyor Belt, this warm ocean current that keeps Europe temperate and helps the United States crashing, collapsing. It's insane. It is just absolutely insane what is going on here. And now the UAE, by the way, just pulled out of OPEC. That's effective this Friday. They're pulling out of OPEC. And people are wondering why. Well, first off, the UAE has been having conflict with Saudi Arabia. Part of it happened when the UAE was, when Saudi Arabia and the UAE were both going after the Houthis, and then the UAE kind of dialed back on that. Part of it has to do with the UAE wanting to sell more of their fossil fuels, their petroleum products, in Saudi Arabia, you know, having had such a huge head start and building up wealth, and, you know, their sovereign wealth fund is massive, it's trillions of dollars, that, you know, OPEC have been constraining their sales. But I think, and I've not seen any commentators talking about this, and, you know, I'd love to get your thoughts on this as well. I think what's going on is that the UAE is realigning itself away from the United States. Now, keep in mind, I believe it was the UAE who invested the several hundred million dollars in Donald Trump's crypto company. And when they did that, when they gave Trump a couple hundred million dollars, Trump gave them these advanced AI chips that are not supposed to go to any country outside the United States. They went to the UAE. And the UAE has a strategic defense, reciprocal defense agreement with China. So those chips, which we're now sending them, these skateboard-sized AI chips that nobody else is supposed to have, in all probability are going from the UAE to China, or at least the Chinese engineers. I mean, China's in the UAE are carefully examining them, shall we say. So I think the UAE is saying, you know, this alignment with the United States that Saudi Arabia did and Israel did and Dubai, you know, Doha did, we're not going to do that anymore. Now, this is just my speculation, but I think the UAE is going to shift their loyalty to China, and they're already halfway there with this military partnership that they've developed that none of the other countries in the Gulf have, to the best of my knowledge. So, you know, if anybody out there, I realize we have the smartest listeners on all of radio or television, so if anybody out there has any further thoughts on that or knows anything more about that than I do, I'd love to hear from you. Got a lot to talk about. It's 27 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's the place where smart people get their news. Stick around. We'll be right back. Executives warn of pain at the pump. Big oil rakes in $30 million an hour. Republicans flip the ballroom bill onto taxpayers, and America shuts down on May Day. Good morning. This is the Commonwealth Report, news for the public, not the powerful. You can sign up for free at commonwealthreport.news. Why are oil executives warning of a catastrophic price shock at the pump? A senior oil industry executive has a message for America. The pain at the pump hasn't started. Dan Pickering, chief investment officer at Pickering Energy Partners, told Politico that when summer driving season hits, gas prices will deliver a shock that hits people in the face, his exact words. It will be painful. With Trump's Iran war dragging on and the Strait of Hormuz still choked off, oil and gas executives are openly furious at Trump's market-manipulating happy talk. They warn another spike is coming around Memorial Day. National gas prices have already jumped from $2.94 a week the week before the war to nearly $4. Actually, it's over $4 now nationally. Some experts now predict $5 a gallon. Trump's war of choice is bleeding working families dry, and the oil bosses know it. Big oil pockets obscene profits while working people bleed. Who's making out like bandits while you pay over $4 a gallon? The world's 100 biggest oil and gas companies pocketed more than $30 million in windfall profits every hour during the first month of Trump's Iran war. That's The Guardian's analysis. The biggest winners are Saudi Arabia, Kuwait Petroleum, and ExxonMobil. If oil stays around $100 a barrel, big oil will rake in another $234 billion in war profits this year. Patrick Gailey of Global Wellness calls it Christmas for fossil fuel companies. They sit back and watch profits multiply while ordinary people pay the price. Greenpeace and climate groups gathered this week in Santa Marta, Colombia, demanding governments tax these obscene profits. Every American driver is funding big oil's biggest payday in history. Democrats lead the polls, but voters are begging for new blood. Democrats are surging in polling for the 2026 midterms. Trump's approval has cratered to the low 30s. A new Yale Youth poll has Democrats up 23 points among voters 18 to 22, 30 points among voters 23 to 29, and 39 points among voters 30 to 34. And these are numbers Democrats haven't seen since Obama in 2008. But here's the catch. Young voters don't want the same old faces. According to fundraising platform Oath, more than 80 young Americans have launched campaigns for Congress this cycle, four times more than last time. They've already raised over $10 million. Oath's CEO, Brian Derrick, says there's a real rift between younger voters and older Democrats who seem more focused on hanging on for another term than fighting for working people. The message to leadership is clear. Make room. Is Netanyahu helping Putin loot Ukraine? This should outrage every American who supports Ukraine and democracy. Russia has industrialized the theft of Ukrainian grain. More than 2 million tons looted from occupied territory in 2025 alone. And Israel keeps letting it in. On Sunday, the Panama-flagged ship Pantorimus arrived at Haifa carrying over 6,200 tons of stolen wheat and 19,000 tons of stolen barley. It's the second time this month. Earlier in April, the Russian carrier Abinsk dumped nearly 44,000 tons of stolen Ukrainian wheat at the same port. Egypt refuses these shipments, but Israel takes them. Ukraine's foreign minister has summoned the Israeli ambassador. The EU is warning of sanctions. So why is Netanyahu running cover for Putin while Russia arms Iran and ships drone parts that kill Ukrainian civilians? Bait and switch? Whatever happened to the private donors paying for Trump's gilded ballroom? Remember when Donald Trump bulldozed the historic East Wing of the White House and swore up and down that private donors would fund every penny of his $400 million ballroom boondoggle? Here comes the bait and switch. After Saturday's shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Senate Republicans Graham, Britt, and Schmidt rolled out legislation Monday dumping the cost on taxpayers. Of the $400 million, $332 million would be taxpayer dollars paid through customs fees on imports. Graham said with a straight face that private donations could be used for buying China and stuff like that. So the gilded ballroom Trump promised would be 100% privately funded suddenly becomes a national security event. You pay $4 at the pump, and now you're paying for Trump's gilded ballroom as well. America shuts down on May Day. This Friday, May 1st, working Americans plan to shut this country down. The May Day Strong Coalition has organized over 3,000 protests across all 50 states, demanding workers come before billionaires. The action is simple. No school, no work, no shopping. The movement got its spark in Minnesota on January 23rd when 50,000 protesters marched in 20 below temperatures after an ICE agent shot and killed Renee Good, a 37-year-old mother of three and U.S. citizen, in Minneapolis. Hundreds of Minnesota businesses closed their doors. Now it's national. Major unions are joining in, including the AFT, NEA, and National Nurses United. Rebecca Winter of Mass 50501 said it best, "We pay more for everything while those in power cash in. We the people are the economy, and we decide when it stops." And that's the way it is. Today, Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. I'm Tom Hartman. Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out.
Empty hands, promises written in shifting sand. We built the roads, we raised the steel.
still can't afford the life we feel. They shake your hand, they take their seat while you're still working just to eat. Oh, they don't hear you, they don't see. They're counting dollars, not the dreams. You gave your sweat, your blood, your time. They took it all and called it mine. Hospitals high, wages low. Tell me, where's a working man supposed to go? Every door just slams again while they toast to the top 1%. They write the rules behind closed doors. You pay the price, they keep the score. Oh, they don't hear you, they don't see. They're counting dollars, not the dreams. You gave your sweat, your blood, your time. They took it all and called it mine.
35 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Yeah, the Republicans, 40 years since the Republicans have done anything for the American people. I posted this over on Daily Kos, my daily take today, and one person replied, you know, saying, well, why go back just 40 years? Why not go back 100 years? Well, actually, Eisenhower did, you know, the last decent Republican president, you know, 1952 to 1961. Or 53 to 61, did a lot of good stuff. I mean, his 1956 campaign was all about how he had expanded union rights, expanded the number of people who were members of unions, which included my dad at that time, and how he had expanded Social Security. But Eisenhower was the last legitimately elected Republican president, and the last, I would say, decent Republican to occupy the White House. At least the last Republican who didn't lie to us. And didn't just openly, you know, play the role of toady to billionaires and big corporations. So, what's on your mind today? Amy in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Amy, what's up?
Oh, well, two things, quick things. How about the Americans with Disabilities Act? Was that bipartisan? And no, it's not. It gave a big civil rights bill that does confer some benefits, you know, because you have to help disabled people. And that was under George Bush, and I think Dole was interested because people have disabled children. It was more bipartisan.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, and the other one is 48 votes, and we get the National Compact to popular vote. We need 48 more. That's all.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
Bye.
Yeah, if you're going to call and make try to enter the contest, be sure to find out if the legislation was originally sponsored, majority sponsored by Republicans. If it passed Congress with a majority Republican vote, and just having a Republican president sign it isn't enough. Sorry. Mark in Homeland, California. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, good morning. Just calling in regard to the topic of the White House shooting last Saturday. I consider myself having healthy skepticism. It wouldn't take much. I mean, they would probably, people say, oh, it was staged. I don't go that far, but I say having healthy skepticism and showing me enough to drop my skepticism is a good thing. An example might be way back with the JFK assassination. Didn't Vincent Bugliosi write a book that Oswald was a lone shooter? I mean, his opinion is a lot better than mine, and that was enough to drop my skepticism. What do you think? Healthy skepticism is okay, but
I don't think the shooting was staged any more than I think the Butler shooting was staged. But what I, you know, or the Trump or his people had anything to do with it. What I do agree with, and I was on, you know, my colleague and friend Dean Obidala, I was on his program last night, and we talked about this, and he's of the opinion that, yes, it was staged, but not in the way that you think when you see that word. What he meant was that basically, you know, they have been waiting for an incident that they could use to stage, you know, faux outrage, to use it to attack Jimmy Kimmel, to use it to attack Democrats, to use it to justify the ballroom, whatever. You know, that the response to
Cole Allen's showing up there with guns was staged. And now increasingly it's appearing that the one Secret Service agent who was shot was actually shot by another Secret Service agent, although we still don't know for sure. And the fact that we still don't know for sure strongly suggests that he was shot by another Secret Service agent, because Cole Allen was not charged with that yesterday. So,
but, do you think it's kind of weird how they like don't show you enough to lose your skepticism, and then you're labeled oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. With the Kirk shooter. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead and finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Like the Kirk shooter, in my opinion, same thing. You had skepticism, and they don't show you enough, and then the poor guy might commit suicide in jail. It just looks weird that they don't show you enough to lose your skepticism.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that, Mark. I'm seeing a fairly transparent investigation, pretty good reporting by the press about who this guy is. I was pleased that his manifesto was made public and that Norah O'Donnell had the courage, being an employee of CBS News, Barry Weiss, who just laid off. They just fired their London bureau person, CBS News did, because she, who has been with CBS News for 25 years, because she insisted on accurate reporting about Gaza and Israel and the war in Iran. And so they fired her. I mean, this is what happens when billionaires take over media operations and turn them into spin machines. That's happening at CBS News right now, and it's just such a shame. Edward R. Murrow's rolling over in his grave. But I think that, and she asked Trump, this manifesto says that he was sick and tired of having, pedophile and rapist, acting on his behalf. Like, I'm an American, and Trump, of course, got all offended and stuff. But I thought I was actually impressed by the coverage.
Okay, you're impressed, and you've seen enough to.
Yeah, I have, Mark, and I don't see it as a conspiracy. Mark, thanks for the call. Jonathan in Simi Valley, California. Hey, Jonathan. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi, Tom. I'd like to make the point that America is a country, not a corporation, and all this emphasis on making money and all this greed, it's just basically the love of money that all these folks have at the top. Like a billionaire is like, can I have some more, please? We have to, and they claim to be Christians. I had an uncle of mine that was in World War II, and he had a Japanese prisoner who spoke English. And he said, I live in America. I used to be a Christian. And he said, what do you mean you used to be a Christian? He said, well, if you kill people, you can't be a Christian. And I was going to be a Navy pilot myself back in the Vietnam War, and I DOR dropped on request, which I think a lot of these Navy pilots, I mean, what's the worst job in the world, I think, is just blowing up bombs on innocent people.
Yeah, can you imagine the pilots who flew that mission
that
killed roughly 200 school children, school girls in Iran? I mean, those guys have got to have a hard time sleeping right now.
How can you sleep at night?
Yeah.
The other thing I'd like
to respond to the first thing you said, Jonathan. The Republicans for a long time have been saying that we need to run America like a business, which is complete BS. You're absolutely right. The purpose of a corporation, a business, is to make a profit, to have extra money laying around to go to the people who own it. The purpose of a government is to provide for, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's to cover that stuff that's in the preamble to the Constitution, liberty and justice and the general welfare and all that. These are completely different things. And the fact that anybody would even fall for this asinine idea that government should be run like a business is a testimonial to how pathetic our education system has become in the years since Ronald Reagan started gutting the education department. And now you've got, a wrestling executive, a billionaire wrestling executive in charge of the education department, and she's actually trying to shut the damn thing down. That's insane. last thought, Jonathan. Now I got to hit a break here.
All right.
Okay, Jonathan, thanks for the call. It will be in a couple of seconds, 45 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment. It's the Tom Hartman program on this beautiful, great Tuesday here in Portland, exposing the con in conservative. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Stick around. We'll be right back. Sue in Belmont, Michigan. Hey, Sue, what's on your mind today? Thanks for watching us on Free Speech.
Yeah, I appreciate Free Speech. I was browsing through my Blue Sky account, and I saw something that shocked me and disturbed me. Hakeem Jeffries has said that impeaching Trump is not a priority once the
I know he said that yesterday. I went off on it.
Yes. Why would you did go off on that yesterday?
I did, and I'll say it again. This shows how out of touch Democratic Party leadership is with their base.
Yeah, I probably didn't see it because of all the problem with the broadcast.
Yeah, well, that's right. Our show kind of blew up at the first hour yesterday, and my apologies for that. And we've got the technical problem fixed. It's amazing. It was like the old, horseshoe thing. We had one little device, it's called a spark device, that communicates with one of our cameras that failed, and it took down the whole system. It was nuts. Hakeem Jeffries, out of touch. Absolutely. We need new leadership in the Democratic Party.
And it's not going to make the Democrats look very good.
No, I agree. Well said. Thank you very much, Sue. Nice hearing from you. Morris in Inglewood, California. Hey, Morris, thanks for watching Free Speech. What's up?
Morris is not available. This is Donald Trump. Listen, you've been saying the nasty things about me, Tom Hartman, and I just wanted to get back to you and set the record straight. First of all, I am not a rapist. I am not guilty of violating any emoluments clauses. I am not guilty of violating any espionage clauses. The guy Jack Smith is way out. I don't know what's wrong with him. I am not a tax cheat. All six of my bankruptcies were legal. And the Epstein files are a Democratic hoax. Now, I need you to get that straight, or I'm going to go after your license. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Donald. Morris always brings, he brings the goods. Oh, my. Dennis in Chicago watching us on Free Speech. Hey, Dennis, what's up?
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Hey, my question is, why do you think the average voter, middle class, votes for the GOP when they're not millionaires and billionaires? Why do they support?
Because I think the average white Republican voter is a racist and a homophobe. And I predict that this fall you will see the proof of that, in that the Republicans running for Congress and the Senate all across the country will be running ads basically trashing immigrants, black people, women, and queer people. I mean, we'll see. I may be wrong, but I bet. I'm not a betting man, generally speaking. I mean, I'll spend a few minutes in a casino, but I would bet actual money that it was leaked this morning that their plan is to go negative in the election campaign. They were going to run on their tax cut bill, on their big, beautiful bill that, increased our deficit by $5 trillion. But then they realized that nobody likes that. So now they're going to go negative. And that's why half of white people. There has not been a Democratic president since Lyndon Johnson, signed the Civil Rights Bill. There has not been a single Democratic president who got a majority of the white vote since then. And that's why. It's because of racism. Dennis, thank you for the call. it's mind-boggling to say it, and I'm horrified as a white person, but that's true. Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. So MAGA Mike and the Republicans want a religious test for people running for public office. They want to know that you are sufficiently Christian to be worthy of being elected. Right. MAGA Mike is one of these seven mountain evangelicals. There are seven domains where these dominionists believe that we need to have religion completely take them over. Education, religion, family, business, government and military, arts and entertainment, and the media. Seriously. This is not what Jesus was preaching when he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God's. This is the opposite, in fact, of what Jesus was teaching. It's the opposite of Matthew 25, where Jesus said, the only way to get to heaven is by feeding the hungry, healing the sick, helping the poor. This is counter-Christian, anti-Christian, in fact. In fact, I think you could say it is the Antichrist's work. There's a piece about it over at HartmanReport.com. Check it out. Welcome back. 9 minutes before the hour, picking up your call. Stephen in Lexington, Kentucky. Hey, Stephen, what's on your mind today?
Hello, how are you this afternoon, Tom?
I am great, but I'll get better, Stephen. I hope the same is true of you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, it is. Thank you. I wanted to mention a few things here. You know, the problem here, what Melania Trump and some of these other people don't really grasp, or they're too lacking in self-awareness to understand. Let me spell it out. The problem here is Donald Trump. You know, it goes back, he promotes and let me be very clear, I don't agree with violence at all. I think it's horrible, it's abominable. But let's be very honest, if we're really going to look at the bigger picture here and to come up with a solution to this problem, the problem is that this man has turned ICE, this vigilante group of hoodlums against our citizens in this country who dare speak out against him. His interview the other night with Nora O'Donnell was proof of this. You know, he doesn't like the answer to a question, so like the spoiled brat that he is, he wants to sit here and blame everybody else. This is his modus operandi, people. We all know this.
Yep.
You cannot be an effective leader in life, not just in the White House, in general, in any field that you're in, unless you take responsibility for who you are. That is a given.
And what you've done.
This party wants to sit here for years, since Ronald Reagan in particular. I was around for Reagan. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but he was the first president that I remember. And I remember personal responsibility. And yet these people want to preach about this. They want to preach about morality and everything else. You know, I'm going to tell you, I concur with Dina Vidallo on this. I think that people want to believe, especially the journalists that have been here, I believe they thought it was real. What they experienced was real. I think this was plotted out by this administration. And I don't make this casually. If we look at some of the chipper response in the aftermath.
I think their responses were plotted out, and I agree with Dean on that. But neither Dean nor I think that this guy coming from California with the guns was plotted out by Republicans at all.
No. Let me be very clear. That was real.
Yeah.
But they took advantage of this situation for their own personal gain. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and they've got a whole script for this kind of thing. You know, this is like the shock doctrine, only not the corporate version. This is the Republican version.
And Mrs. Trump, you know, yes, the gospel according to the opportunist herself, wanting to sit here and talk. She wants to sit here. First of all, the East Wing, if people don't know, is the First Lady's offices since Rosalind Carter. It was established as the First Lady's offices. You know, Miss BBS Initiative wants to talk about hate and violence. She should start in her own home.
Yeah.
That's where the hate and violence starts from. You know, he talks about Trump derangement syndrome. It's called PTSD. When you sit there and you create a situation that is so severe and traumatic enough, guess what?
people can only take so much. As I said, I don't agree with violence.
The
same time, I don't agree with our White House promoting this behavior.
They're
promoting it.
Oh, they've been promoting violence forever. Did you see Jimmy Kimmel's response to Melania calling for him to be?
And for
people listening who didn't catch it, he pointed out that when he said that she had the glow of an expectant widow, what he meant
was on Thursday.
Yeah, what he meant was that Donald is almost 80 years old, will be 80 years old in 2 months, and his wife is younger than Jimmy Kimmel. And, you know, it was a gold digger joke. And she's like, oh, we meant to be, Donald is supposed to be assassinated.
Well,
No.
They're a perfect pair for one another.
Oh,
the courtesan and the lunatic.
Their pearls.
Oh, yeah. The courtesan and the lunatic, a perfect pair. And then they have the gall to sit there and not want their precious pearl to go over there and fight. Well, excuse me, how does Melania Trump take it every night? All these American mothers that are crying for their daughters and sons being forced to fight over there for a war that wasn't even declared a war by Congress officially.
Yeah.
She should be one to talk. I don't feel sorry for her. As a matter of fact, I think the justice here would be when he does pass away, that all their assets are frozen by the U.S. government, like any mafia. We all know he talks like he's a mobster all the time, you know. He sits there and does it like Tony Soprano or like The Godfather. Actually, The Godfather had more talent than Marlon Brando did, obviously, in the role. But the point is, all those assets should be frozen. And you know what?
Yeah.
That is her punishment for being stupid enough not to do her homework before she got involved with this.
Well,
man,
I think this might have something to do with why she's maintained her Slovenian citizenship and gotten Slovenian citizenship for her son, Baron. So,
oh, of course.
And her parents are over here now, but they can all just hop on a plane and go back to Slovenia whenever they want. They all speak Slovenian. She's made sure that Baron speaks Slovenian fluently. So, you know, I think they're all ready for you know, when the music stops and everybody's got to grab a chair. So we'll see. Stephen, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, always good talking with you. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Is Netanyahu helping Putin loot Ukraine? This is a mind-boggling story. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
X-Ray FM is supported by Slingshot Lounge. Located in Southeast Portland on the corner of 56th and Foster, Slingshot Lounge offers an expansive game room, scratch cocktails, and a craft kitchen with a full menu until 2 a.m. Happy hour available weekdays from 3 to 7, and brunch weekends from noon to 4. Slingshot Lounge, decentralizing Portland since 2007.
This is Bird Note. Milkweed plants are important to monarch butterflies. Adult monarchs lay their eggs on milkweeds, and their caterpillars feed on the leaves. Milkweed contains a toxin that helps protect the caterpillars from predators. But monarchs aren't the only ones who benefit from milkweed. Scientists in Ohio once tried to document every insect species they found eating some part of the common milkweed plant. They identified hundreds of species, including 132 kinds of beetles alone. And many bees, butterflies, and other pollinator insects visit the milkweed's flowers. Milkweed is almost like a tiny ecosystem of its own, drawing in creatures of all shapes and sizes. When it's part of a diverse community of plants, it helps many species find food and shelter, including birds. The fluffy fibers in a milkweed seed pod are the perfect lining for a songbird's nest. Not to mention, some hummingbirds drink nectar from milkweed flowers. Planting milkweed helps the declining monarch butterfly and a whole host of other species.